And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, 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 unafeared here on Declare Your Independence. From me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU Tifo Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Woo! Yeah, I'm feeling better. Bulletproof kicking in. Talking Paul Rosenberg always makes me feel better. Now I get to look forward to talking to Mr. Tim Pechote, the Liberty Advisor, thelibertyadvisor.com. Okay. Yeah, yeah, sing it for me, man. Come on, Tim. You know, it's, you can go on twitter.com/libertarianadvisor. You know,
I would really recommend that because I'm probably going to delete that. And maybe that's a perfect segue into, I don't know if you saw PewDiePie's video about deleting Twitter.
Boom! Twitter's done. Okay, I don't know if you're on your right mic. You know, it sounds like tinny, like you're in a bathroom kind of thing. You got that mic on? Tim, can you hear me?
Test. Okay, how about now?
There you go.
Yeah, you know, I was screwing around with things yesterday. Yeah, I had my Yeti on, and it was pointed down.
All right. Now, go ahead and, let's do the Twitter thing. Well, let's do the Tim Pechote thing here real quick. Wait. Tim Pechote. I got a bunch of initials that I don't know what they mean. He's financial planner or certified or something. Is the founder of Crypto Self-Direct and Wealth Advisor with Innovative Advisory Group and all this other stuff. The big thing is that Mr. Pechote is a trailblazer in the field of crypto wealth management strategies. Tim understands the challenges Bitcoin early adopters face as they struggle to get their substantial cryptocurrency gains from the virtual world into the real world without getting killed by taxes. Well, a lot of people, they went and yeah, I'll go get some of that funny money and kind of and Coinbase of that, and the IRS sent you a letter. You know, they go, yeah, we understand that, you know, from this anonymous thing that was supposed to be anonymous, that you're not so anonymous, you're filthy, stinking rich now. What are you gonna do about it? Call Mr. Tim Pechote. That's what you're gonna do. How far off am I?
Yeah, no, I think that's perfect. And it's getting more and more onerous as, you know, the IRS starts, you know, trying to figure out all the different ways that they can, you know, glean more money off people. I mean, now they're counting forks as a taxable event. So when Bitcoin cash forked off from Bitcoin, they're counting all that now as a taxable event at the price. So, I mean, it's
wow.
Impossible to stay in compliance with all this, with all the crap that's going on. But yeah, I did want to point out that, yeah, I don't use Twitter at all. I mean, for right around the 16 election, I was, and I'll probably end up following PewDiePie's lead. Not that anyone cares what I'm doing on Twitter, but I'm probably going to delete that and Instagram, then eventually Facebook, and just get off all these enemy platforms. Because
for years, you'd hear me say this. I'm going, look, the only reason we're going to come back, you know, because since like 10 or something, I just like, I'm not doing any more Facebook or all that stuff. Because we had the Instagram, the Pinterest, the Twitters, the Facebook and all that. And we'd set up a lot. We'd get all excited. Okay, let's, you know, we could have it automated and the API from Freedom's Phoenix as we post stuff to go onto the Twitter feed. And it's kind of, you know, we still got some of that. I don't even check. And I go, yeah. And then they kept changing it. And then they would, you know, you're not allowed. And then it would be violation of, and you can that, but not this. And you're not allowed. I'm going, whoa. I see man the tentacle of controls for social engineering. It's always about social and economic engineering, and it's not through television commercials on broadcast TV anymore. It's directly you subscribed and asked for it and paid for. May I get my mind altered? And I'm like, nope, hell no. I'm not playing this game anymore. And we pull back, and the only time that we come back is go, hello, we're here to let you know, hey, we're over there, okay? Well, that's what's going on right now. Well, now it's getting to the point, hey, we're over there, and we got to have an over there. So we're creating this and so on, but it sure as crap is not here where they're doing it. And, you know, the Twitter, the Facebooks, and that kind of stuff. So I am getting excited about this next wave of activism that we're going to be doing in 2020. And it's going to be to highlight the decentralization of opportunities and communication, of pirate money, of pirate communication, of pirate, you know, reputation and ID, of. This is the future. And I can see it, but it ain't going to be easy. And I need somebody to kind of, you know, just demonstrate it and have fun with it and doing the here we go. So I'm and you're doing it because why? Because PewDiePie, you do whatever PewDiePie says? What is that?
No, I mean, obviously, that's a, you know, he's the largest person on YouTube, so he's got a huge following. He's, I think he had like 17 million on Twitter. So, I mean, it wasn't nothing, you know, to sneeze at. So, with when you've got the biggest person out there, he's got 102, 103 million YouTube subscribers, literally ending his video saying, F you, Twitter, boom, then deletes it. You know, I think that that's a very powerful message. And then now you've got guys like Sam Tripoli, who I've talked about quite a bit on your show. I think he's going to be playing in Phoenix, actually my birthday, January 9th. So maybe we can try to get him on your show. I mean, I've been trying to get him on mine, so and yours too. So
yeah, no, we'll just do it. He's coming here, you know, but damn it. His benefit.
What he's doing now is he is only taking basically sort of like the, you know, a few minute highlights of his show and be like, hey, if you want to get my full show, go to my website. I'm not, you know, bypassing all the social media crap. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that we, you know, we started off going to places like YouTube to get alternative voices. And now YouTube is basically, you know, literally paying to promote, you know, the CNNs of the world, all the same crap that we're trying to get away from. And yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's not really a good over here yet. And that's why I'm stressing the phone numbers and emails to say where we're over here. But yeah, I mean, I see BitChute is, you know, seem like it's getting more and more traction, but it's still, I mean, just.
Yeah, it's slow to upload. Donna, come over here and talk to us a little bit. Now, I'm showing up on the screen here. It says, you know, PewDiePie says F Twitter as he slams social media virtue signaling. So he just, I mean, he just went at it, you know, said, you know, but I want to ask Donna real quick. She's the one that does a lot of the posting, you know, the videos in different places and so on for the archive. Now, we've done D2 because it was IPFS and interfaced with our, you know, IPFS network, you know, better till we get dashboard of directly and we're working on it. But we're going, all right, where? BitChute seems to be kind of the place a lot of people are going because, but there's still a central, well, I'm not super happy with that, but we need to have some place people can watch the videos. So BitChute, your experience with using BitChute is what?
It takes for freaking ever to get things up. With DTube, I can at least now be assured that they're most likely going to be up within a couple of hours each video I'm talking about. I'm not talking about
takes a couple of hours. Do you load them all at the same time or one at a time?
You can't. One at a time. Vimeo is good. You can click all the files, 10 minutes, boom, they're all up. This is you load one file at a time with each individual graphic and all of that, and then you push the button and it gives you a status bar and it tells you how far along you are. And usually after a few hours, you might get like 97%, and then, you know, the next time you check it, it's up. So then you have to start on the next. So it literally takes me all day to get your videos loaded now. BitChute is even worse. BitChute, I could do the same thing. I'm behind on that because I could try to set them to load and it could sit there all day and then you go check it and it's not up. So it's like, do you let it go overnight or do you start it over? Sometimes I do. I let it go and see if it'll go up.
Well, how many days behind are we?
Like 2 days. So
better get on it.
Well, I mean, I can't, you know, I can only sit there and do it so long and I let
see,
it,
this is what we're dealing with, Tim. You know, there's got to be, you know, as time goes on, we're building and we just saw last week, end of the
week. Don't blame me. I've been paying, you know, $10 a month in the BitChute to try to support, and probably the 0.00001% of people actually putting money towards this type of stuff.
Okay, so, well, does that make it go faster?
No, I don't. I have a much bigger problem with YouTube than I do BitChute. I don't know what the deal
Well, it might be because you're paying. You know, I see, I'm looking for, there's, and I don't, man, do we have to do it on our own servers ourselves? I mean, that could be, you know, the solution. You know, because that's what, like, Corbett does. He has the MP4 on that. We're working on it.
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the Crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
You want to do it on the live show or something?
No, I just...
Donna's got something to say.
No, it's not that I have something to say. I'm just saying I talked to James Corbett. Well, I emailed him and I asked him if he had issues with BitChute, because I know he puts his things up there, and he said, well, I know it's kind of glitchy and stuff, but his feed goes directly from YouTube, so he doesn't have to deal with it directly. I'm sure he probably gets notifications or checks it, but so it is a little more glitchy, I would imagine, than DTube. But
that's one of the things is that Thomas Friedman was telling me that there's all of these, I don't know what the hell they call them, it's a name for it, but these avenues or these mechanisms that these APIs that go from YouTube to different platforms, it just copies the channel over there. But that is what we were doing with Facebook back in the day, as we were loading up different things, and they changed it. And I'm sure they're going to change it right when they want to change, they're going to change. And then, of course, they get to see or have access to everything that you're sending to BitChute. You know, so I don't see it as a solution. It might be a short-term thing, so we might work
still,
on that.
I'm still putting them up, but I mean, it does take longer.
Well, what about the shows on YouTube?
Well, the shows on YouTube, sometimes they show up and sometimes they don't, and it probably... The factor is how much music you play on there, and you know what I'm talking about. But
they go, oh, you're not allowed to do
that.
But
it's also when you do this, when you click on, we start the show in the morning, and you click the live stream, it starts from that point till the time you click it off. And we have the live stream on usually for 3 hours plus. So those videos will be 3 hours, and they won't be individual videos, which is really kind of what you want, is the individual videos for each hour.
All right. So
yeah, it's nothing. I mean, I'm paying the kid from Zimbabwe who was doing it for me. So, you know, I haven't had that much of a problem doing it.
I can try paying $10 a month and see if that ups it or not.
Well,
if
it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I mean, you know, I don't mind supporting whatever.
Apparently they're getting monetization next month, according to Josh Segerson, where you can start doing things like paying to advertise on there. And I guess Float is doing the same thing. And I guess Float, you can put videos up to 2 gigabytes now, which was news to me. And then one other thing I wanted to mention is, so I switched my Liberty Advisor email over to Proton Mail. So even though it says the libertyadvisor.com on my email, it's a Proton Mail. And now when I go to email you, because apparently Cox and Gmail automatically block Proton Mail.
Save this for the show. We need to talk about this stuff. Yeah, see, I can see it coming.
I'll show you the email. So it's, boom right here.
All right, here we go.
You can sign up to receive the latest about the Liberty Radio Network via our email updates at updates.lrn.fm. That's updates.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. We got Tim Pachote and Donna Hancock, producer, the imperial producer, the empress, you know, whatever. We have... what we're doing is talking about, you know, there is going to be pirate communications coming up. There has to be some method or mechanism by which we can, you know, leverage the internet to have access to... Now, what we can do is we could just do it on our servers. And we do have backups and everything on our servers. We do have the ability, you know, the IPFS nodes and so on. And we are looking at, you know, a lot of different ways. But the big thing is, over the years, we have organized the fields for our data in such a way that we can go to any decentralized thing, you know, so that we're going, all right, we can take advantage, you know, of these platforms and go boom, 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 and looking for the one that, all right, this is where the people are. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a Tor thing? You know, I just for the first time put up the Onion browser, you know, a Tor browser for me to be able to go to Tor. Well, are you going to get there? How do you work that? I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't care. I'm looking for pirate communications. I'm looking for a standard. When that happens, I'm going to be your new best friend. So that's why I always do, hey, well, can I have my catapult channel? You know, little baby furry white kittens being catapulted in cactuses and you can't take the channel down. I mean, not that I'd do that, but you can't take the channel down. If they can't take down, you know, the fur on, you know, shaven cats, you know, down, then you know you're free. Because, man, the internet's all about cats. So I'm going, this is what I'm looking for, and I will pimp the living crap out of it. Filecoin came out last week saying that their test net is done, which is what IPFS was built for, was on the cryptocurrency of Filecoin. This whole thing was that we become the internet. We are rewarded and incentivized by holding and disseminating data. If they can get that to where that's done without it being gamed and hacked and whatever, I'm like, okay, cool. But until then, I don't see any other solution.
I got like 8 extra terabytes I could monetize.
Boom! You know, go look up Filecoin. We just had it up on Freedom's Phoenix last week when I saw it. So I'm going, all right. Now, in email, when we do our email dispatch, it's every and anything they can do. If, God forbid, you have an AOL, they ain't never getting anything. If you got Yahoo email, that's done. If you got, now they haven't, they kind of, you know, sometimes not time, you know, Gmail has yet to get to where they're blatantly censoring because they need the traffic. They want you to communicate. They want to be able to know it. So all my emails, you send me anything, it duplicates and goes to my Gmail account. The reason was, is because when I was on the road, I'd have access to all my emails before they did Thunderbird, which now I can access Thunderbird from anywhere. But I left it on to where everything I send, probably not what I send, but, you know, all those emails that I get go to my Gmail account. The man knows everything. You send me an email, I'm not even making it hard for him. You want to know, here it is. Now, if I got some private emails, what do? I got a Proton mail account. So I go, all right, well, there's a Proton. Do I really think that's secure? Well, I can see it on my screen. If I can see it, they can see it, you know? So I don't believe that. I go, okay, I'm going to send you guys. Sure, you want to be all private and talk about and kind of whatever, you know, and that's why I'm open about what our plans are and the trip and all this kind of stuff, is because I feel threatened if I know that only the bad guys know. That's why I put my home address on the bottom of every page of Freedom's Phoenix. Why do you do that? So the good guys know where I live. Bad guys know where I live, you know? So I'm just, it's a different mentality. But I am uncomfortable with some communications with some people just out of privacy, of just because they're friends and none their business, and they feel comfortable using Proton Mail. What's your experience with Proton Mail, Tim?
Yep, so I just started using this recently, and so my tim@thelibertyadvisor.com email, so you guys can use that if you want to get hold of me. That email, the underlying, I switched the domain over to. It's actually, that is a Proton Mail email address, even though it doesn't end in Proton Mail. So what I've been doing now is I email individuals like yourself, and I get the following message of undelivered mail returned to sender. And I can actually post this up on the screen in like 2 seconds here. You guys can see here it goes, ErnestHancock@cox.net will not accept this email. And this was a one-off email. I didn't send like 50-100 emails to anybody. So this was a one-off email. So any time I've sent an email to Gmail, it's automatically gotten denied. The other thing I've noticed with Gmail, not necessarily with Proton Mail, is it stacks. So let's say you send 5 emails to somebody. It sort of like hides the other emails that somebody's sent, and they categorize it in different spots. And I absolutely hate Gmail, and I don't want to give the man make it any easier for him. So I've gotten off of Gmail. I mean, all the spam crap I have sent over there, like all my purchases and stuff, I've got an Amazon, I moved all that off. gotten all my information off Google Drive, backed it up myself multiple places. I'm just trying to, the best way to change things is not to have some sort of law. It's everyone taking their own individual action. So I'm not asking the government to do anything. I'm using things like BitChute and using things like DLive and now Float.app, which is getting better and better. Which one? I need one more subscriber there because I'll hit 200. I'm at 199. I've been there for like 2 days, so more on Float. Just to get nice even 200 over there. But yeah, so with the Proton Mail, Gmail is like, oh my god, we've got mail over here that's not tracked, traced, surveilled, censored, and
can't get to anybody.
God damn it, we need to go and censor all that stuff. And so it's yeah. So and then the other thing I noticed is I was we're going through a mortgage right now, and so I sent maybe it was a payroll lady. I sent her some information, and it wasn't even encrypted, just basic information like, hey, withhold this percentage. And she's like, oh, your email came to me blank. And so this corporate email also blocks. They didn't block Proton Mail. They just had all the contents of the email were just blank. And so it sent a blank email. So it's so frustrating. But at least, you know, with you having emails getting CC'd over to Gmail, it reminds me of Hillary Clinton, who had all of her State Department emails CC'd into a Chinese shipping company, which is something that, you know, not a lot of people know about, but is open news that anyone can go look up themselves. Well, why you can still Google stuff and it's still actually...
Wait. She had all of her emails from her server duplicated on some Chinese shipping company?
Yeah. You can go look that up.
Yeah, what?
Let me go. Yeah, that's...
This is not like cares. Headline news every day? Are you kidding me?
Nobody cares. Let me try to find it now.
Oh, my God.
So even on my phone, I don't even have... I mean, I have an Android phone, so it makes you have Chrome on there, and it won't even let you take it off. But, I mean, I have it set to Brave browser, searching through DuckDuckGo. And I'm... You know what? And if you guys are wondering, hey, how come we're not talking about finance? Yesterday, I was at a surprise appearance on at the behest of Dr. Frank. And so we went into a lot of the political stuff. I beat up Dr. Frank pretty badly. Sorry about that on the support of Trump. So if you guys want to hear a lot of the economic stuff, go to yesterday's show in the third hour. And I think I was on fire on that.
In the after show.
Yeah. So this is sort of just a random grab bag of 2 days in a row.
Yeah. The video might be up in a couple of days. You know,
shipping company, Hillary, and I'll let you talk while we try to find this, shipping.
Well, what we're trying to do is solutions for all this stuff. And to me, people freak out about, well, you know, I got to wait days, or it had to be next week, and when are you going to get it? And kind of, you know, I've become more patient. I mean, let's see, I'm going to be freed in 18 months. Okay.
Here we go. Keep people on the edge of the seat. Hillary Clinton's emails were sent to Gmail address similar to name of Chinese shipping company. And this is from Epoch Times. So we can go over this when we get back.
Okay, wait. Is it a Gmail account?
Yeah, it's a Gmail account.
Of course. Google is the State Department. Yeah, how many times have I been saying that? Eric Schmidt, Carter, and Assange. We're in the middle of everything here. We'll be right back. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yes, this was Dr. Frank's Epoch Times. Again, no one cares about this information. Like, it came out. No one cares.
All right, Donna, wait. Donna, look this up. Hillary Clinton's scroll it up. Hillary Clinton's email. Leave it, man. Hillary Clinton's emails were sent to Gmail address similar to name of Chinese company. Similar? What the hell does that mean?
It said all but four of her emails from the State Department were forwarded to a private Google email address.
I know, but address similar to name of. What the hell do we mean similar?
Well, and who knows?
Either it went or it didn't. I mean, you know, whatever. So that's Gmail. So this is when it was when Google met Assange or something, or Google WikiLeaks or whatever. It was a Newsweek article that I read when Eric Schmidt went to talk to Julian Assange before he went in the Ecuador embassy, and that's probably why he went. They just, you know, explained it to him. Let me tell you what's going to happen there, boy. You know, and it has been, and Eric Schmidt, man, he's one of those for big time, and that's why he went. And all this Sergey Brin and Larry Page leaving a Google, God, there's a movie here. I mean, you know,
there's a CIA front. And here, actually, I didn't know this part. So this information came out as part of the Intelligence Community Inspector General Investigator, which I didn't even know that was a thing, report to Congress. So he was here testifying to Congress that basically she was using this as a Dropbox for, you know, people to spy on her emails. Oh, nobody gives a shit. Because Donald Trump said, you know, did Hunter Biden possibly do something wrong? Now that's the worst thing in the world.
I am so
even someone like you who's into all this stuff and surrounded by Dr. Frank, even you didn't know about
that. Oh yeah, no. This is a new one. Just done the Gmail. You know, my thing is that it's always been that well, it was when Cody Wilson made that one statement on Dark Wallet. He goes, it was a system reaching perfection in one of his videos. And he goes, just in time for our disappearance. And that's what, you know, I think they, them, those are going to be more concerned is when all of a sudden, Ernie's gone. I'm gone. You know, I'm not here anymore. I'm over somewhere else. You know, I'm doing, and it's going to have to be like, you know, Snowden on his bed with the blanket over his head to put in his password so they don't read off of the reflection of his eyeglasses kind of crap. I mean, you know, it's, you know, but I'm not willing to go there yet, you know, because I'm just, screw them. You know, it's not that I don't know they're surveilling. You know, it's like even we're at Derek Slopey's, you know, in his basement bar of partying, you know, saving the planet and, you know, deciding, you know, what we're going to do.
Hey,
and,
Alexa,
remind me. I'm like, are you kidding me? And he goes, is your phone on? You got it on your hip? He goes, don't talk to me about it. I'm going, okay, you're right. You know, so it's getting to where, so now I'm like, you know, I'm just out in the open about everything because they can't understand. They don't see. It's fine. They're the architect and the matrix. They can't comprehend what's happening, and they're looking at different factors. So it's better just to be out in the open so they don't got to, like, I don't know, guess. I go, yep, this is what we're doing. What are you going to do about it? And we'll see. If you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer there. I don't know what else to do. And plus being clandestine about everything, you don't get the.
Yeah. All my really offensive and egregious things I put on YouTube, my podcast anyways. So
LRN.FM. That shows.LRN.FM.
And now live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, did I hit my music limit? Are they going to ban it? They're going to delete it because I had a little bit too much of Walk of Life? Yeah, what if you didn't care? Yeah. You know, that's another thing. They get on Restream. We've been having times I can, you know, I'm able to look. It's a frame rate. So I can see here on it that they go, and they're cutting it. You know, they're trying. I have to reboot the computer. I have to redo. You know, I get, you know,
Different platforms have different optimal frame rates. There's all sorts of extra stuff you can do. Yeah, I mean,
I'm seeing that they'll cut. You know, under certain, you know, certain. It's like they're paying attention to somebody. That was a coinky dink. They did it then. So it is. I'm not satisfied that we are anywhere near as freedom of expression as we think we are. And it's a lot of times they use it as a mechanism, as data to be able to map out networks, who friends are, what influence, the grapevine, who's the influencers and how and why. And this is why they went after PewDiePie early on, because he had some ridiculous number, 65 million followers. And all he was just a gamer just making fun of Reddit posts.
Now,
or something.
It's like 102 million.
I know. And they we can't have that. And they go, we're going to, he goes, you're going to what? I just left Twitter. Now what are you going to do? And I'm leaving YouTube. Now what? I don't know, man. You know, but I don't know if these other mechanisms are the solution. And a good example was Brighteon with Mike Adams, a health ranger. He's like a Google and YouTube were, you know, really going after us getting healthy. You know, that well, hell no. We got a Monsanto glyphosated Cheerios for you, and nobody's get to talk about it. Well, he's got a lab. He's actually saying, look, let me tell you what we're finding. Boom, you're done. So he starts Brighteon, which is kind of supposed to be this YouTube killer. Then you had the Christchurch shooting, and he had it up, and boom, you take that down ore. And he took it down because the ore was not pleasing to him. And they're going to do all this kind of crap that they can do. And I'm going, so is Brighteon it?
And then if you're Gab, then the Microsoft Azure cloud.
Same thing.
Shut down.
I'm going, there has to be a decentralized people thing. That's what we're emphasizing and focusing on. So that's
hopefully people like Colin Cantrell are building that type of stuff, hopefully. But you're not alone in the people who are, fearing that their freedom of expression is taken away. I saw yesterday, I think it might have been on Drudge, but it says 92% of Americans feel their freedom is threatened. And then it says, 48% think freedom of speech is being threatened. 47% think the right to bear arms, which I actually, these are rookie numbers. These numbers need to be way higher. Only 47%. So,
but for years I've been screaming this, and I knew this day would come. I knew it would be like, well, of course, it's general public opinion. I'm going, not a few years ago. You don't know how much crap I took. Ernie, you got to go where the people are. I can't believe you're not, you should be bigger if you, blah, blah, blah. I go, I'm not investing. I'm not helping these guys enslave my audience. I'm just out of principle. I'm not doing it. I don't care what, send me silver. Yeah, go to the bottom of every page of Freedom's Phoenix. That's my home address. Go to join us at the top. Join, that's one thing. We stoke the flames of liberty. Subscribe. You go to the top of Freedom's Phoenix. It says join us right up, right there. Let me show you. Right there. You go like that right there. You go clicky, clicky, click, and there it is. Subscribe, give me money. You want to do Bitcoin, cryptos, you want to do Bitcoin Cash. I prefer Bitcoin Cash, by the way. And you got the different memberships that you can do to send me money. Be my guest. But I'm telling you, I am not getting revenue from these guys because I don't trust them. They're not there to spread freedom. They're there to contain it. And you're letting them and helping them. Nope.
Yep. And right now, crypto, if you go to the fear and greed index, it's an extreme fear. And traditionally, the pretty much best gauge of, I'll say this is for informational purposes only, not financial advice, but the best times to buy crypto has been when you're in extreme fear. And the best time to sell has been when you're, the best time to sell has been when you're at, the extreme, euphoria. So right now
what do they call it? Market exuberance or what was it? Greenspan's thing?
It was irrational exuberance.
Yeah, irrational exuberance. I'm going, they got a funky name for everything,
Yeah, and they've got some more stuff there going on there. So I think this was from, 18th? Yeah, so this is an article from yesterday on Zero Hedge. Not sure if you guys had it covered, but Fed president's shocking admission. We need to be pretty focused on asset prices, not just inflation. And basically it goes on to say, during the last couple of recessions, the big thing that happened was asset prices went down. So we should just be focused on keeping asset prices up.
Asset price? What the hell are you talking about?
Homes, stocks, anything that rich people
talk about. Oh, so they're going to stimulate the economy.
Make sure the stocks and home prices don't go down is basically what he was saying.
They always say that.
Yeah. So
when do they not say that? How old are you, man? I mean, they always say
2009. 2009, Bernanke even said, that the purpose of QE was to raise asset prices. I mean, almost a direct quote, paraphrase there. But here's a direct quote. If you look at the last two recessions, they were not situations where inflation got out of control. There were situations where asset prices went way up and then came way down. So if your goal is to avoid recessions, I think we need to be pretty focused on asset prices, not just inflation. And, there's some other shocking things that he, went on to go and say. So if you want to avoid recessions in the future, you have to be thinking about what is happening to the asset prices as well. So this is the goal, is that these guys are just trying to get us to fall from, a higher cliff. So we, get hurt even worse. And then, ultimately, our efforts to stop this deflation of asset prices going down will probably lead to, severe inflation, if not hyperinflation. But, we're screwed even if we have a little bit of inflation. We're screwed even if none of this prognostication comes true by, me, you, and your audience, and we just have the slow malaise of what's going on. Unless you are like the top 10% of Americans, which are most people I'm working with, then, you're pretty 90% of people are basically left out of here. And if you've got nothing, nothing to lose. And I think it's yesterday, we talked about the pensions, and I think that's only a matter of time right now.
Pensions. Okay, this is one thing before we end this. We got like a couple minutes in this segment, and then we'll finish it up next. We were talking about, a lot of things, but one of the things is, Dr. Frank was going, where's this quantitative easing coming again? I'm going, what do you mean when? It's big time happening now. And what Tim shared with us was this. There is a The banks, they have to have a reserve of 10%, let's say. So at the end of the day, they got to borrow money from somewhere or something. So instead of them looking, you know, borrowing money at a big percentage or something amongst the banks where they don't even have it and the liquidity in the system and having cash on hand, not there. So the Fed says you can borrow from us and everybody borrow from us so nobody gets stigmatized and you borrow from us. You don't report it that they did it for 2 years. And now it's not just overnight. They extend it to a week or even a month, you know, and I'm going, what the hell? That means this could be unlimited amount of money and you don't know about it for a couple of years and they keep rolling it over. This is
we know the amounts every night. We just don't know who or where it's going to.
Well, you know the amounts that are week or amounts that are month or amounts. So they give that?
Yeah, they do give that. I mean, stuff.
Well, what's it up to? I mean, when you go a month, I mean, it could be $1 trillion.
I mean, it was up to like, you know, I think yesterday when I looked, it was like $160 billion from the night before. I mean, just the night before, which was about double what QE was at its peak. I think QE was around like $80 billion.
So are people seeing this for what it is? It's an expansion of the money supply. It's check kiting.
Absolutely not. I mean, all these Trump retards are out here on my Facebook and YouTube and everywhere else, you know, saying, you know, I don't get it. Because yesterday when we read Trump's tweet that said something to the effect of, you know, the dollar is way too strong, you know, the time to stimulate and to quantitative ease is now. We need to start quantitative easing now. Come on, guys, you can do it. Something to that effect.
They're already doing it.
And everyone's like, come on, we've got 10,000, the Dow is gaining 10,000 points. You know, Trump is the best, you know, economic president ever. And it's like, you know what, if I wanted to run $1 trillion deficits and just cut taxes on the biggest corporations in the world, or coincidentally are all the same ones that hate you anyways, I would have voted for Hillary. So, you know, this is, like, anyone can go, you know, cut corporate taxes and then, you know, spend $1 trillion and then raise GDP. Okay, great. GDP is what, 2.1%? Big whoop-de-doo. And so this is all the same crap he was calling Obama out on. And now, you know, that now he's the man in charge. It's all about 2020 and getting reelected for the most important election ever.
to Trump.
Frank.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trending on the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
What I want to do is, in this next segment, this last segment, is I need kind of a, you know, Tempachoke commercial. I mean, you know what you're going to do for and why and what you see, and you know, that'd help. You know, but what are some of the dates? Because a lot of times they'll say, well, September this and October that, and the quarter of blah blah blah, and this report of the yada yada. And I'm wondering, is there another? Oh my God, this number comes in good, bad of the next date, you know, or end of year, or Christmas sales, or some crap. I mean, what are we looking for? I don't hear you. You got your mute on or something.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, so I mean, right now, you know, I think we're sort of in this no man's land where I thought the stuff that would have already happened would have happened from enough stuff, in my opinion, has cemented about what's going on. I mean, I really thought it was going to be when they had to start printing money again, which was in September, but no one cared. And so, I thought that, and then the fact that when we had this, I mean, I really thought it was going to be last October when we were selling $50 billion a month in bonds. And I knew that there was no way that was going to happen. And then once, my prognostication came correct, somehow, I mean, even though I was correct on that, that they couldn't do that, they'd have to reverse that. Then everyone, all they care about is the Fed going to print money or are they not going to print money? And then now they get the hopes up on all these, you know, phase two trade deals and all this other BS and tricks up their sleeve. So I don't really know. I mean,
this is one thing. They are actually have algorithms and AI that are surfing Twitter feeds and Facebook posts and all this kind of stuff. That's why Trump goes out and says this BS about and China got a deal or something. They get in and all of a sudden the algorithms are going in and buying. You know, it's just, it's manipulation of the feed. It's just bullshit. It's not even now they get some hedge fund or some guy's got to see or read. It's just some AI.
Yeah, which, you know, eventually is going to compound a lot of this stuff. And, you know,
yeah, of course it is.
You know, we had also yesterday discussed, you know, the corporate bonds and how, you know, a lot of them are ranked BBB. And if they go just from BBB to BB, that is going to be a catalyst of epic proportions. And the bond market's a lot bigger than the stock market. So that's a much bigger potential catalyst than even the stock market. It's just
yeah, people have trying to explain to me all the time about, you know, how bonds go up, stocks go down, stocks go up, bonds go down.
Oh, do you want to know what I saw went bankrupt yesterday? Actually,
what
It was actually Vector Space filed bankruptcy.
Oh, did they? Yeah,
Jim isn't with him anymore.
But, yeah, I know he left a while ago. But when Electron Rockets were doing well and they hadn't got the space yet, that's kind of what did it. It's competition, you know, and I can see that happening. All right, here we come back.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, we belong to the city, and they're going to explain it to us. All right. How about I don't belong? What if I go out in the desert and what? What do I do? Oh, I don't know. Next hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Judy Mikovits on the vaccine stuff. I got to get to share with her on air what we're going to be doing and kind of hitting the road and everything. And I tell you, I hit the road on this. It's economic stuff. I'm still going to be doing shows and whatever. We'll see what form it takes and how we do it and where we're going to be loading and kind of, you know, but I like LRN, man. You know, it's kind of, you know, we found our tribe. You know, these are the guys that are in the right mind think if they got in the future of, and you have alternative methods of communication. And then they can, you know, take the feed from there on your little pirate stations and, you know, some other FCC licensed stations and so on. So we got to keep our language kind of, you know, be nice. But, you know, I like the satellite thing, man. I'd really want to push that. And they're going to need in the future, they're going to need people with some understanding of your finances, because what's happened, we got a lot of our friends and family, we're starting to get in the retirement age. You know, a lot of the activists, hell, that I know, that they're doing a lot of this work and we're going, woo, let's go kick ass. You know, they're at least in their 50s, if not their 60s. And then, you know, their parents, of course, have boatloads of money. And what do they do with it? Well, they got it in their 401, you know, stock market pension fund of retirement of pension something, you know, and it's gone. And if you don't know what to do, better be talking to them some Tim. All right, give me the commercial. These people, I'm anybody that's got it in the dollar, anybody that's got it in the stock market, anybody that's got, I'm not feeling good. I mean, if you don't got it in precious metals and maybe some selected cryptos or stuff or, you know, a rebar out in the backyard or something, I mean, give me something. You know, here, give me a rake is better than this funny money old paper, wallpaper in my bathroom with. Tim, what's the future? Why do they need to go to you? What are you going to help them with?
Well, I think that the main thing people need to do is just have some sort of plan. I mean, oftentimes when people meet with me, they have no idea how much they'd like to spend in retirement. They have no idea what's, you know, the least they can get by on retirement. They don't know exactly. They know when they want to retire. It was, you know, yesterday. But, you know, let's say somebody, you know, could be something, and I model this stuff out for a living right now for people, which I wasn't doing this for the last 2 years because I had to get, you know, the ship back on track, which is back on track now. So what we're doing, let's say, you know, you want to live off $60,000 a year in retirement. But have you done any analysis as to, you know, when you'll run out of money at $60,000, or if you can even handle that? And we're not talking just straight line analysis, right? You know, I do throw in 1,000 different permutations to, you know, stress tests, you know, anything from the best case environment to the worst case environment to, hey, what if I retire and you know, the market goes, you know, crashes right before I retire. So we can stress test these different things. And what I see is sometimes, you know, the difference between, you know, you retiring off, you know, $53,000 a year and 60 might mean the difference between, you know, you, you know, passing away at 95, you know, with $500,000 left over, or the difference between you running out of money at age 82. And there's, and the time to get that right is right when you retire. I mean, so if you mess it up the first 5 years, it's hard to recover from that, especially if you have, you know, a very bad sequence of return, which is the concept that the order of your returns is more important than the average return. And so it doesn't matter if you average 10% a year, especially if inflation's 11, but it doesn't matter if you average 10% a year, if, you know, you go down 30, 40, 50, 60, 70% year one. Now, conversely, I see people who are going broke safely, who just keep all their money in cash, and that's not really that great either. You're conserving your dollars, but not your purchasing power. And so, you know, I take my knowledge of all this different stuff and help clarify, okay, you know, you're 55 years old, you want to retire in 5 years. This is what you've got coming in. You know, I think you need to save X amount per more, or maybe you're too aggressive and you only need to really earn like 4% to hit your goals. And so why go crazy? Now, you know, obviously, you know, not trying to not have people make money, but yeah, it's just having that clarity of what to do, because most of the time people aren't actually doing actual financial planning. They're just doing investments and not the planning. And so so I'm able to do planning for people either on an hourly basis, on different planning packages, on...
Well, give me some of the variables, though. I mean, Trump doesn't get reelected. I think there's a difference. But, I mean, you know, this is... what are the variables that you put in? I mean, what's the historical... How far back do you go? I mean, we were just talking to Paul Rosenberg in the last hour, and we're counting on a moral... revitalization of principle. I mean, it's just, you know, slaves only gave up 30-40% of their labor and their time. I think I'm doing more. Am I a slave? You see my point?
Peter Schiff had a podcast where he was talking about, he goes, hey, listen, it's my goal just to become a serf. He's like, the serfs only had to give up 15% or 20%.
Right.
What, 20%? He's like, can I be a serf? He's like, that's all. That's what I want to be.
Who I got to pay?
claim status of a serf again. But yeah, I mean, going back to, you know, what if Trump wins? What if Trump doesn't win? What if, you know, the Easter Bunny gets elected? Any type of scenarios. And right now, you know, I did mention that sequence of return. And so the main thing, especially for people who are, and I don't always run this type of strategy, and really I only started running it last October, but if you think the market is super overvalued, which I think everyone listening probably right now is probably in that boat, or you think that the Fed could print money, which then could also make the market go even higher, which, you know, also is a potentiality of what's going on, what we've seen so far, especially with, you know, the Fed coming out and saying that the goal is to raise asset prices and we need to be focusing on asset prices. I'm focused on that negative sequence of return where I think, you know, you know what, hitting the fan is sooner than later, or the market goes up 50% because we print a bunch of money. And so we have a strategy where if the market plummets, we know we can quantify exactly what the most you could potentially lose is. I mean, it doesn't count, you know, if, you know, your gold holdings or Bitcoin or anything like that, but your actual stock holdings, we know the most you could potentially lose. And for most people, the most they could potentially lose is everything. Whereas for us, you know, the most you could potentially lose, you know, is going to be like probably like high single digits or mid single digits, depending on, you know, when we got in on the option price. So it's going to be different for every single person, but we can quantify, hey, shit hits the fan. Sorry, the, you know what hits the fan hit scenario. Boom, we know exactly, and we can model that too in our stress testing software that then shows, okay, you know, if the market did go down the most it possibly could for 1 year, right at the worst time possible, what would that look like for you? And so we're protecting against the catastrophic downturn. You're fully liquid, so, you know, your money's not locked up. If you don't like me or I offend you, you can leave at any time. There's no penalties to get out. Actually, now the trading fees are now zero, which is good because, you know, there's a race to the bottom with all this stuff. So yeah, the main thing is I'm protecting against that sequence of return risk, but also giving people the upside potential as well, and also giving people peace of mind of knowing, hey, this is how much I need to do in order to hit my goals, and am I on track? Am I not?
Well, how
on track?
Do you determine how much precious metals to get? I mean, you know, what's your, you know, in the portfolio, you're saying, eh, you need at least, or should you be stocking up more? Because I'm thinking, like, you know, I'm a dip crap, man. I don't know nothing about nothing, so I just buy more silver. Because I just buy more silver, because it's silver, whatever, you know.
I mean, it's going to be a different answer.
And Bitcoin Cash is 184 now. I'm like, ooh, I think I'll get some, you know.
And it's going to be a different, I mean, so, you know, you've got some people who are, you know, following gold and silver and Bitcoin every day, and you've got other people who've never been invested into it ever. And so, you know, if you're 70 years old and you've never been invested into gold or Bitcoin or any of this stuff before, you know, I don't necessarily think, you know, it's prudent to just say, hey, go put like half your money into this. You know, you should start smaller. And I do have a guy that's a little bit older who's never been a gold investor who I'm going to, you know, basically make that recommendation that he, you know, get some. And, you know, we'll see how that conversation goes. But, you know, but then, you know, it's different. You know, everyone's going to be different. So, you know, if you're, so I talk with some people who, you know, 99.99% of their net worth is in Bitcoin and they've got, you know, millions of dollars. And for them, they're trying to, you know, diversify a little bit out. But as a percentage, their Bitcoin is still going to be, you know, relatively high. And they've got other people who have never had Bitcoin and want to get some. And so they're starting off, you know, smaller until they actually understand what it means. So I think, because, but what I won't do is I won't just put somebody into something to, you know, if they don't really understand.
Yeah, no, I'm hip to that. But my thing is that when they do, and your suggestion of how they take precious metals, are they physically taking it or are you putting them in some paper thing or what?
I mean, I think if it's, I mean, I don't really recommend that you have the gold necessarily inside of your IRA unless you're doing like gold mining stocks or if that's all you have access to. I don't know. It's, maybe tease people a little bit here, but yeah, with the, I don't necessarily, I mean, I think it's better to have it at your home and the man doesn't know about it, or you've got, you know, your junk silver and all that other stuff. But if it is in your IRA, I personally think it's almost better just to buy the ETF, because by the time, because okay, well, we can run through these scenarios, and this is probably, I know right now everyone's probably losing their minds, but okay, great. You, if you have a gold IRA, that it has to be custodied somewhere, just like it would be in the ETF. And if the man ends up, you know, let's play this out. The man ends up saying, hey, we're confiscating all the gold. It's 1933 again. Well, if you're in a gold IRA and just because you have it vaulted at some vault and Brinks, I think you're just as susceptible, except you're paying a huge amount in fees every year to store that gold. So I think it's better to stop, you know, have it, you know, yourself and not in an IRA is my own personal preference. But we work with it, but we do help people facilitate the other way as well. So,
all right. Yeah. This is...
The political world is a maddening cesspool of corruption.
Okay. Hi, Judy. I see you. We'll be in just a second.
And I've got a call in 3 minutes for a mortgage, so I've got to get going now.
All right. Cool. Hey, thanks, man. We'll do, there's a lot more to talk about. We'll get it next week. It's good
to head to the North Pole with the kids right now, too.
So. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Send me a couple of pictures of what that's like. That might be something I want to do. You know, okay. I think the kids had done, one of them did it one time. Didn't Rhea take the kids on the Polar Express thing one time?
That's what we're doing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me know how that goes. Thanks, Tim. Talk to you later, man.
Bye.